Gopinath Chandra. I think in his past life, he was may have been a lady who always had to sit in the back. Now he's making up by always being in the very front. Who was at lunch prasad today when Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita was being read? Please raise hand. It was a very revealing reading, showing Srila Prabhupada's... Could someone tell them not to make noise in the next room? It was an incredible reading showing Prabhupada's very unique and broad vision of how to present Krishna consciousness to the world. At the beginning, Prabhupada was at New Taliban, which is a farm community in Mississippi, United States. And Srila Prabhupada was looking through the fields and very, very seriously asking what is being grown in the land. Prabhupada's idea is every inch of land something should be growing on, because it's Krishna's land and he's giving it to us and it should be utilized. So the person explained, the leader of the community, that they were growing sorghum, which is a food for the cows. And Prabhupada asked, he was happy that they're growing food for cows. He said, are you growing food for the devotees, for the people? He said, no. The person said, well, the cows eat their food, and then they give grass, and then they give milk, and the milk is for the people. And Prabhupada was quite strong. Not only the cows should, but there should be agriculture, specifically, especially to grow food for the devotees. He was putting emphasis on that. And then he was very disappointed to see machinery. He said, if you have this machinery, then you're not going to use the oxen and the bulls. Yes, what are you doing with the oxen and the bulls? They should be plowing the fields. They should be producing energy. And he said, if we do not teach people how to utilize the oxen and the bull for developing crops and agriculture, if our devotees are not sensitive and educated in this way, then people will just live in the cities and eat the cows and the bulls, unless we show people their value. Prabhupada was very strong, talking about he didn't want modern stuff so much. He wanted agriculture. He wanted growing crops. He wanted cow protection. He wanted full utilization of the cows and the bulls. And this was a very deep passion of Srila Prabhupada. I heard him speaking at New Vrindavan, same things in much more elaborate detail. And when he was at Gita Nagari, and when he was at the Hyderabad farm. But then from New Taliban, the next day, Prabhupada's in Detroit, Michigan. And devotees are going to have to leave the little house that they're staying in, and they're looking to buy some other place. And they tell Prabhupada about this magnificent, one of the most opulent mansions in all of America that's for sale. And they were telling Prabhupada how, you know, all the reasons why they didn't think it was a good idea. And Prabhupada was defeating all those reasons to their great surprise. Then Prabhupada wanted to go there. Prabhupada went, and it's completely the opposite of our conception of living on a farm in Prabhupada houses. In New Vrindavan, he taught us how to make Prabhupada houses. He wanted everyone to live, which was just basically simple clay houses, like similar to what we're making at New Govardhan now, the Govardhan farm. And Prabhupada went there, marble arches, all sorts of jewels and precious tiles and paintings. One of the wealthiest men in America built it for himself. It had inside it the house, not just a garage for cars, it had garage for boats. And the driveway was a canal that went right to the major river of Detroit. Prabhupada went there. This is 1972 or 73 or 4 or something. At that time, they were asking $350,000. Today's value, $350,000, is probably about $4 million at least. And Prabhupada sits down with the owner and the real estate agent. And he says, I have no money. This is after the whole tour, and Prabhupada really liked the place. He asked the devotees, what you think? And they told him, Ambarish, who's, you know, Alfred Ford, who's the only person who'd be able to help pay for it. They said, he doesn't like the place. He says it's Maya. And Prabhupada said, well, Maya can be used in Krishna's service too. Prabhupada liked it. It's really opulent. Especially then. Prabhupada says to the owner, I'm a sannyasi. I have no money. I'm a beggar. You should give it to me for free. That was his negotiating technique. And they were so caught off guard and so disoriented by that. Then Prabhupada made an offer of what he wanted to pay, and they accepted it because it was better than free. So here's Prabhupada one day. He's in a simple little farm telling people, we don't need machinery, we just work the ox, we just do the agriculture, we grow food. And the next day, he's purchasing one of the most opulent mansions in the most industrialized city of America. Detroit at that time was, most all the automobiles of America were being built in Detroit. It was interesting how one day after another, one chapter after the other. So this is Prabhupada's vision. He was willing to use skyscrapers in New York. He was willing to use all the best possible technology in Krishna's service. And at the same time, he wanted to use, in a different situation, no technology. the ancient natural technologies. For his books, he was using the topmost technology for his book publishing. But he didn't even want any tractors or machines on his farms. He wanted oxen. He wanted devotees carry things on their heads. And Prabhupada considered them both equally important. But these communities, these rural communities, were one of Prabhupada's strongest emphasis. In fact, you know, Prabhupada would emphasize according to his vision where he was. Practically everywhere in the world in those days, he was emphasizing book distribution. But of the three times he came to New Vrindavan when I was there, I don't remember him ever talking about book distribution. Besides talking Srimad Bhagavat philosophy, he was talking about developing farm community and developing a retreat center within that farm community that reveals the spiritual world that people will come. So we, as Prabhupada's followers, we have the responsibility and we have the sacred obligation of trying to fulfill all these different orders of Srila Prabhupada, because each of them, in their own unique way, are extremely important, in fact, essential to actually spread Krishna consciousness in an effective way in this world. Srila Prabhupada emphasized book distribution. He emphasized temple worship. He emphasized college preaching so strongly, depending on what devotees were doing, he emphasized. He emphasized Varnashram Dharma. And he emphasized these rural communities and retreat centers. Now, that particular aspect of the rural communities, according to Prabhupada's vision, is one of the least developed projects in Prabhupada's society today. During Prabhupada's time, because he was emphasizing it so much, it's unbelievable how many farm communities started. You haven't heard of most of them. But because Prabhupada was emphasizing it so much, New Vrindavan started, New Taliban started. In Oklahoma, Tamal Krishna Goswami started a farm. Shivaram Maharaj was the president, I believe, of that farm community. And Buffalo, the Buffalo Center, that was a thriving ISKCON center, they started a farm. Lake Huntington was part of New York Project. They started like a farm community. In Los Angeles, Three Rivers was like a farm community. New Mayapur in France was a farm community. In fact, Prabhupada's great emphasis for Bhaktivedanta Manor was agriculture and cow protection. That was one of his main functions of emphasis, making it like a farm community also, because it was in the outskirts of London. And there were many more. Now, many of them don't exist anymore. And others that still exist, they haven't really, over the years, sustained Prabhupada's vision of that simple living, high thinking, growing our own food, real exemplary cow protection, and using the oxen and the bulls, alternative energy, developing them into retreat centers. In Hungary, Shivaram Swami Maharaj is really trying to do. And there are a couple other places in Brazil they're really trying to do. So here, Radha Gopinath Temple, you know, we're right in the middle of the city. Chaupati is not a suburb. It's the heart of downtown Bombay, at least a section of the heart. We're only a few minutes from Nariman Point, a few seconds from Marine Drive. And by Radha Gopinath and Prabhupada's mercy, some development has taken place to have a city center. Prabhupada wanted college preaching. We've tried for that, and with the help of all of these wonderful leaders, Gauranga Prabhu, Gaurgopal Prabhu, Govinda Prabhu, Baladev Prabhu, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, so many others, Braj Bihari Prabhu, we've developed college preaching quite nicely. And book distribution, Prabhupada emphasized. And we could do better, but there is some focus, and doing quite well in book distribution. And places like Kolhapur and Belgaum, and Nasik and Nigri, and Pune also, and many other places. We've developed other centers from here. But one of the most powerful priorities of Prabhupada, we haven't really established, and that was to really develop a wonderful rural community based on the sacred principles Prabhupada's taught. And for that reason, some years ago, we bought some land, but somehow or other, it wasn't the right land, it wasn't the right place, there were so many problems, and we saw it wasn't really going to happen. So we sold that land, but we didn't give up. We bought another land. And the neighbors seemed to like us. And the agriculture is quite fertile. A lot of good fertile land. There's a nice river close to it. It's not far from Bombay. One of Chaturpati Shivaji's forts is just a mountain climb away. So we began to develop it, and Sanat Kumar Prabhu has really put his heart and soul into trying to do that. It's a beautiful natural place. Since the time we started this temple, the orphanage or Gurukula was right here living with us. And we thought this is a wonderful place where they can be in fresh air. They have plenty of room to play. So we built a facility to shift the children there. And we have some really beautiful, pure breed Vedic Indian cows, and oxen and bulls. They're there and they're really struggling to do the agriculture. They're doing quite well considering how many years we're there. They've developed it quite well. But But what we want, in order for all of that to really serve Prabhupada's mission the way Prabhupada wanted it, we have to not only improve our cow protection and agriculture, but we have to have a place that is built according to those pure natural principles that will attract people from all over the world to come to experience it, to associate with devotees in that environment, and to learn. And also, as a service to our brahmachari ashram, to all the college students we're cultivating, and to our whole congregation, who are very much stuck in this polluted, passionate city of Mumbai, as sacred as it is, we want to have a place where, just like people go to Vrindavan and go to Mayapur, we should have a place close by where devotees can get away from everything and be near a clean river in the fresh air with the mountains and the cows. Preachers can bring the students that they're preaching to for retreats there, focused, concentrated. Congregational devotees could leave their jobs and come there for some time. Different groups, educational groups, college groups, yoga groups from all over the world will definitely come there if we build it according to these exemplary principles and show not only agriculture, cow protection, but also alternative energy utilization. It will be one of the most effective, influential ways of transforming people's hearts. Our own existing devotees, as well as new people. One of Srila Prabhupada's main mandates for Radharas Bihari Temple was to cultivate people from all over the world who come to India looking for God. Now, temple has accomplished so much, Radharas Bihari Temple, but hasn't really been able to focus on that so much. And we want to focus on that because Prabhupada really wants it. There's millions of foreigners that come to India looking for God every year. If we can affect them, we can affect the whole world. And here at Radhagopinath Temple, we would like to have some type of presentation like that for those people. It has to be specialized for them. But the restraint of space and all the other projects going on here. But that's where they would love to come. On a retreat in a natural environment where they could learn the science of bhakti, the science of Krishna consciousness, along with so many other natural sciences simultaneously. Powerful effect. So this Wada farm potentially can serve in such a significant way on so many levels. It's our duty to give a place like this to our congregation. They've given their lives to us. It's our duty to give a place like this to the college students so they could really just have a total focus in a totally conducive environment It's our duty to provide a facility like this for the foreign people from all over the world and all over India. And if we do it in the right way, it will be an extremely attractive place of pilgrimage for many, many people. So as of last year, I expressed to the devotees that from my side, college preaching, congregational preaching, festivals, deity worships, yatra, book distribution, these things are all going on quite strongly. We have to sustain them and always be trying to increase them. And each of these elements, the way they developed, is because at a certain time we made it the top priority of the whole project. When we made college preaching the top priority, Krishna reciprocated because he saw we took it seriously, and he gave some power to develop the college preaching. Then at certain times, we made book distribution the top priority for marathons and everything. And because we made it a top priority, Krishna empowered it to happen. Deity worship, at times, we made it the top priority. And look at the beautiful dresses and the beautiful festivals. At one time, this room that we were in was Tinkerbell High School. And when we got it, it was absolutely trashed out. Yes, it was absolutely the trashiest room you could possibly think of. And the temple building, the entire building was of the same quality. So we made it a priority. This is Krishna's house. Let's make it nice. I don't know how it happened, but it's nice. At a certain point, we made the top priority the counselor system. And although it was a real struggle with a lot of resistance and great difficulties, it developed. At a certain time, a couple years ago, we made the standard and quality of prasad a top priority, and it was totally transformed. At a certain time, we made developing really good brahmacharis who have good conduct and who are going out and like real sadhus representing Mahaprabhu's mission, that was a top priority. And that's how the brahmachari. So whenever we made a top priority, it developed, it expanded, and it sustained and it kept expanding. Each of these top priorities, it's not that when you change the priority, the other things go away. But it takes making something a top priority to really get it going. And then once it gets going by its own momentum, it keeps going. So since all these other projects are going relatively very well, last year, I expressed to all of our leaders of the congregation and the Brahmachari Ashram, now our number one topmost priority is WADA, the farm community. And we want to put our best men, our best everything to develop that project into a wonderful retreat center that will give genuine shelter in bhakti to all of our devotees and to people all over India and all over the world. a place where we could really demonstrate to the whole world the glories of protecting cows and living with respect and harmony to our Mother Earth. So because of this, two of our very leading devotees, Gauranga Prabhu, Vasudev Prabhu, they spent months and months just going around India to different places. Ananda Gopal Prabhu, one of our very active congregational devotees, and Radhagiri Dari and Sachit Ananda went to see different places, you know, studying carefully, building materials, and Sanat Kumar Prabhu, of course, has been very, very doing a lot of research and study in agriculture and different types of crops. They've been for alternative energies, for natural building, for water storage. And now the largest allocation of the funds for all of our projects are now going to the water farm, and that's significant. The whole financial committee of the congregation in the temple is now giving the largest expenditures for that purpose. And as far as I can see, we have all the right people in place. We found the right people for this natural building, for water storage, for alternative energy, for landscaping and creating the forests of Vrindavan. Now, the next stage is we need devotees who are committed and enthusiastic to be blissfully grateful to go there and actually really develop the infrastructure. Making a first-class kitchen, making first-class guest reception. And so many of the other aspects there. Myself, the first 8 years I was in ISKCON, I was milking cows. Not only milking them, but taking care of them in every way. I was their doctor, I was their nurse, I was feeding them. In the winter, it's all snow. If there's no grass in the ground, I would have to, it's very hard work. I'd have to go and bring hay and put it in a wheelbarrow and push the wheelbarrow and feed each cow hay. And in the winter, each cow, I'd have to bring them water. And some cows, like they just bring a whole bucket of water, two buckets of water, and they just go. And I have to just keep bringing bucket after bucket, and I'd have to like walk 5 minutes back and forth from the well to bring each bucket of water. And in the summer, I'd have to bring them out to the pastures with a stick. And there were certain poisonous areas, and they'd eat that stuff and get sick, so I'd have to keep them away from that and bring them to other places. So I took taking care of cows. First year and a half was just basically taking care of cows and doing gardening. And then I was made a pujari. But while I was pujari, the whole time I was still taking care of cows and helping gardening all along. So it's very good for you. And besides that, that's what Krishna does. That's what Balaram does. So we shouldn't think that, why do I have to do this? If you don't like doing that, how are you going to go back to Goloka Vrindavan? He'll go to Vaikuntha instead. So we've been discussing this, and some of the brahmachari leaders and the congregational leaders and myself all together, we decided that this is a fantastic place for people to get spiritual training as well as really contributing to make the top priority project the wonderful offering that it should be. So the brahmachari training program, which is now here, will be shifted to the Wada Farm. What? Did you say that in Marathi or Hindi or English? Thank you. And also, you know, we want devotees to be enthusiastic to go there to do service. Of course, if you have a service here that's very, very important, then you may not be allowed to go. But otherwise, if you're really enthusiastic, it is going to be one of the most successful and effective preaching programs we've ever done. There's no doubt in my mind. If we just put the energy there. And also, it's such a priority that I believe there's a policy that all the senior leading preachers of the Brahmachari Ashram will be spending a few days a month there giving classes. So practically always one of the senior leaders of the ashram will be there. And today, especially in the West, and it's going to be more and more in India, among college students who are open-minded, this is probably the number one subject they're really interested in, is environmentalism. Because the world's being plundered with the greenhouse effect and the global warming and the pollution of the earth and the pollution of the water. I mean, they did a test on the Yamuna, and it's thousands of times more polluted than the limit of what's safe for a human being. And the Ganges in many places is the same thing. What is human beings doing to the world? When I was young, in Cleveland, Ohio, there's a river there. It's a Lake Erie and a river. And there was a bridge over the river. And somebody dropped some fire from the bridge. And the river caught on fire and burned the bridge down. That's how poisonous the river was in a major city. Now, from natural logic, water is supposed to put out fire. So this is a very big concern. Because of so much greed and exploitation. And so many people are talking. There's so many books written and so many Nobel Prize laureates are speaking about environmentalism. But all these people, whether they're Nobel Prize laureates or whether they're students, you know, campaigning and demonstrating or studying and talking about these subjects, what everyone is longing to see is practical examples of it. Yes, people will come from all around India and all over the world, besides just our own congregation going there for shelter. If we have a retreat center that's really nice, that's based on these principles, it's actually a working model, alternative. It is my sincere request to all of you, whether you're here in Radha Gopinath Temple or you're traveling doing different outreach program in cities and colleges and towns and villages, or whether you're distributing books in the party, or whether you're actually there on the farm itself, my request is we should all make that farm a part of our heart, understanding its integral importance to all other projects. And all together, we should all be thinking and praying and contributing to make that our current priority. How many of you would not mind going there to do some seva? Please. Gopinath Chandra, when he doesn't laugh, everyone laughs. Any questions? Radha Gopinath Prabhu, would you like to share a few words of wisdom on this subject with devotees? Govinda Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for sharing your thoughts. When we speak, there is no achar, only pickles. But when Maharaj speaks, because he has practiced it for so many years, and we see, just we were discussing that because they served the cows, and not because there was no choice. He did it because he wanted to do it to please his guru, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And as we read in the Bhagavatam first canto, one who takes care of the cows, children, old men, women, and the brahmanas, prosperity certainly comes. And we can see how much prosperity Krishna has given to Maharaj. Of course, he is born with prosperity. But Krishna has given so much prosperity in regards to preaching Krishna consciousness, making devotees, keeping devotees happy for the rest of their life. So I was always thinking that, you know, when we have that opportunity to practice the same principle what he has done, then certainly we can see some amount of prosperity in our spiritual life also. So those who have this opportunity, those who have been asked to do it, if we can do it, then I think we can see more and more smile on Maharaj's face, and Srila Prabhupada would be very happy, and so many more young people will be attracted to Krishna consciousness. And as Maharaj asked us to play some role, we will try to be as sincere, as honest as possible to play our role in this project.
Govinda Prabhu is reminding me of, I also took care of oxen too. And one of the most difficult things is I was given the order to arrange bulls to have sex with cows. And I was very much not inclined. You know, I'd have to, when the cow is, they're in heat at certain times when they're receptive to have calves, have babies. So then you have to bring a bull. And bulls are really very strong, especially Western bulls. They're not so sattvic as Indian bulls. And when that bull would get near the cow that was in heat, they release some sort of energy when they're in heat. Do you know what in heat means? That means it's the time of the month when they're receptive to have children. They release some sort of, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a smell or something like that. And that makes the bulls go mad, go totally wild. And I'd have to bring them together, something like the marriage board. And I'd have to make sure that they did it. It was a very difficult service, but I can tell you, because I saw the anxiety, the anguish, and the misery involved in the whole process, it really helped me to become a confirmed brahmachari. And the name of the bull that I was in charge of was Prajapati. I don't think you'll have to do that, but even if you do, it will definitely reinforce your conviction to be a brahmachari. Gauranga Prabhu, would you like to speak something?
Thank you, Maharaj, for sharing your experiences in New Vrindavan. One of the issues which comes up is because many of the devotees, including myself, we are from the educated background, like material, mundane education. And we have led a more academic lifestyle and predominantly in the cities. So there is always a fear about how we will be able to adjust in the rural environment. So you have very nicely expressed many of your thoughts and your own experiences. So I think that will act as inspirational for many of us to be bold enough to involve more in this project. And one thing I've realized from my many years of experience of serving with Maharaj is that he has a vision, and many times we just can't see it. But one of the qualities of an advanced devotee is his satya sankalpa, that whatever he desires, then Krishna somehow fulfills it. And we have seen that happening repeatedly. And many times in the process of doing it, we are many times bewildered that why we are actually doing it. Even during construction time, I used to be always bewildered that when this construction will end, when it will end. And then sometimes Maharaj will call me and say, I have a brilliant idea. And then I would begin anxiety. And I would think, why is getting so many ideas? But now after, you know, all those things have ended, then when I look back and I see that if Maharaj had not pushed, then we would still be in that shabby place and it would not look nearly as beautiful. Some of the best architects from India who came for part of our WADA project, they came here, we took interviews, and when they saw this temple, I mean, they are all professional architects, having years and years of experience. That is their business. So they saw the temple hall and they were blown out. They saw the exteriors and they came to this hall and they were blown out. And they said, wow, this looks so magnificent. Who designed it? So I said, Maharaj is our interior designer. And then, you know. But when it was happening, because we were also staying here, it was difficult for us to get adjusted to all that construction and everything. But Maharaj had a larger vision that for years and years to come, there should be like a beautiful house for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And now in Wada, when you go, you just see like 50 acres of land and most of it is just agriculture and not much happening. So you may think that, you know, what am I going to do in the middle of that place? But I'm very confident that because of Maharaj's desire and Prabhupada's vision and the intensity of all the devotees' efforts, in 2 to 3 years' time, it's going to be the talk of whole of ISKCON. And hundreds and thousands of devotees will come from everywhere just to see that. Because somehow or the other, when I went to Auroville in Pondicherry, I saw that they have really done, you know, so much construction with mud architecture and all those things. And we had that opportunity in ISKCON, and somehow we had a lot of land in Mayapur, we couldn't do it. And when Bhavanand Prabhu came here, just by the existing, whatever is there in Wada, he was so impressed. And he said, this is much more than any farm community has done in many parts of the world. And he was glorifying the existing things. And then when he saw the half-built house which we had just constructed, he was glorifying, saying that you are not just talking, you are just actually doing something. So his feedback was very inspirational for us because we were not really aware of, you know, the importance of what we are doing. And because he was with Prabhupada in Mayapur during the construction. So Prabhupada has spent a lot of time telling about simple living. And so altogether, I can say that Maharaj's vision, and practically Maharaj has never asked anything in the past, but he said, he made a mention in one of the meetings that, you know, this Wada project could be like a gift for me for my 60th birthday, which is coming up next year. So Krishnachandra Prabhu was really very touched by that, and he said that first time Maharaj is asking something to be given as a birthday gift. So I think all of us have that shared responsibility, and all the temple leaders are going to be part of this project in various ways. So the Brahmachari training current batch the one who have finished this 1 year, they will be moving there. Just to clarify any ambiguity. So we are very grateful to Maharaj for giving us this service. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Vasudev Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for giving like a proper view for us regarding the farm community. Generally, means we don't have that much, like, you know, what is the importance of farm community. Many people, many devotees during the last 1 year, so everyone has a different concept, like preaching in the cities means there nobody is to preach. Do there in this 50 acres of land. So even few devotees gone there, they also came back that impression to the whole ashram. Like, if you go there, we will also get fried out. Some devotees wanted to go, really, but they also got a negative feedback because of all those reasons. But your lecture was giving clear understanding what we are expecting and what we can do over there. Majari is, like, we are given a target and like a mission for the devotees, all of them are young. So it's a nice time we can take up that task and complete it. Thank you, Maharaj.
I think one of the reasons that devotees who went there may have thought there's nothing to do is because we never had an organized project for them to develop. But now when devotees go, you know, there's going to be particular departments that they're put in to really develop. So there'll be a lot to do. Is there any questions? Hare Krishna Prabhu, if you don't get the sound system together, you'll be joining the Brahmachari tribe. We'll have you in charge of silent meditation. Teach to the international yoga students.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned that this WADA project will be the most successful preaching project ever, you know, of our temple, like Radha Gopinath Mandir.
Exceptionally successful.
Like how Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning, you have the vision, you're actually seeing it, you know, how it will develop. So, like, if you can just kindly share with us your vision as to step by step how you see it, you know, developing. So that.
Step. The first step is today's talk. No. It will begin with the spirit of service, devotion, and surrender. Our devotees are willing to make sacrifices where there's not much of anything for the higher cause of fulfilling Prabhupada's dream. That means going, developing departments where there's not much of anything existing, developing projects where there's not much of anything existing. That surrender, that devotion, that service attitude of devotees will attract Krishna's empowerment. And gradually we'll develop more and more alternative energy sources. Gradually we'll develop beautiful temple room, wonderful goshala, nice facilities for people to reside. And as those are being built, people are going to come and they're going to see and they're going to get more excited. And gradually the interest in the project is going to grow more and more and more. And the basis is the people who are just there, quietly doing the work. That's the foundation. And within a couple years, I'm hoping the first phase will be complete. And then college students, yoga groups, educational groups, environmental groups, our congregation, people are going to start coming there and their lives are going to be transformed. What's going to transform their lives? The setting is going to be so peaceful and so natural and so pure and so educational that people's minds and their hearts are going to open up And then when they associate with devotees and they take nice prasad and they hear Prabhupada's philosophy, Mahaprabhu's philosophy, when they chant the holy name and japa and kirtan, when they walk through the different forests of Vrindavan, and devotees just like in Vrindavan are giving them tours, telling them each pastime place and what the stories are and what the Goswamis did and what Radha and Krishna did and what Krishna and Balaram did, and telling them about the trees and about the peacocks and about the birds, people's lives will be transformed. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
These are a few thoughts. Step by step, the first step is going there when it's hardly anything and just working in a spirit of great devotion with faith in the potential of what will happen. Prabhupada started Mayapur in a straw hut, because people like Janani Bas and Jaipatak Maharaj and Bhavananda and Pankajangari, because those people went there and they just had faith that Prabhupada has a plan here, let's do it. Now look what's developed from a straw hut. Prabhupada had no resources except his faith in Krishna. But due to when we first started here, you know, there was practically no resources except faith in Krishna. But now there's tremendous resources that's willing to go there. And the greatest resource is the BT. Not to speak of funding and so many other. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I also want to know your vision about the kirtans in the temple are like that.
Here or there?
Both places.
Huh?
Both. First here and then there.
If any particular question?
We have, in the day we have this Rajbhog Aarti, then evening 6 o'clock there is Gaur Aarti, then there is Shayan Darshan. So in other temples also, many temples like Juhu and they have kirtans when the deities are, you know, giving their darshan, like from 10 to in Juhu or Mayapur. So in this regard, like for Shayan darshans here in the evening, that was my question.
As far as scheduling, that's something that would have to be discussed with all the leaders. But in spirit, I think we should have a culture of kirtan. Because the purpose of the kirtan should guide the enthusiasm of how we perform the kirtan. For the last kirtan in the evening, it was actually one of the greatest battles of the whole development of this whole project to get devotees to sing in a way that would be very conducive to the deities going to sleep and people who work all day to come and actually have a soothing, peaceful experience in the kirtan. for months and months and months. The madanga is getting too loud, the sound system getting too loud, getting fast and racy at the end. And somehow or other, I think it's usually done right. It stays slow, stays very soft. The sound system is minimal. The murdanga is very soft. The kartal is very soft. And now it's actually, on a daily basis, it's the most popular event of our whole temple. Is it not? For the common people, for the outside people. And actually, even when we're having our dancing kirtans, especially, you know, on Sundays, of course, you know, that final kirtan is something very special. But we have to give people an experience. It's not just for the devotees, it's for the world. And oftentimes, we have to put the volume of the sound system on deafening volumes that for most people, even our devotees who are getting older, the volume seriously affects their health. When you're young, you could tolerate it. But once you get in your 50s, loud volume actually makes you physically ill. It's very, very disruptive to the whole nervous system, to older people. They can't appreciate hardly the kirtan. And we're saying, well, it's the holy name. They should appreciate whatever the name. That's not the way preachers are. We present the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't have sound systems. And the reason, usually, we have to put the sound system on such deafening levels that really cause pain to people. The holy name, we should present it in a way that's not painful. It should be pleasurable. It's because the instruments are so loud. Because people are so passionate and playing murdangas and kartals so loud. And the whole purpose of kirtan is to hear the holy name. The murdangas and the kartals are there as ornaments to the holy name. Yes, they ornament the holy name. Now if a beautiful deity, do you put so many ornaments that you don't see the deity? I mean, do you put all kinds of necklaces and things all over so Radharani's face is covered like this? Some people do that. We ornament the deity in such a way to accentuate the beauty of the deity. It's not the ornament, it's the deity that the ornaments are for the deity. So the deity is the holy name, and the instruments and the way we sing and everything like that are the ornaments, which are supposed to beautify and help people focus their consciousness on the holy name. When we decorate the deity, it's to help people focus on the beauty of the deity. So that means, you know, the murdanga, the kartals, should be very harmonious. Murdanga and kartal players and whatever other instruments should really be very surrendered to the way the person's singing. And it should, and the instrument should be at a volume so that the sound system doesn't have to be loud. It could be nice and everyone could hear. And we should be trained in such a way that we're dancing because the holy name and the madangas and kartals are together. It's not because of the volume that we're dancing. It's because of the substance that we're dancing. Yes? In this way, the older people in our congregation could really, really appreciate the kirtan without becoming, you know, very, very much disoriented. And the new people that come they'll see our kirtan is very soothing, it's very beautiful, whether it's fast or slow, it's just wonderful. Not just some mad display of devotion. Dancing can be as it is. But everything should be done especially when we're doing, for the common people, which means, the different artis is really, we're trying to attract the world to come for these artis. So they should be very sweet and very attractive. Not just wild and loud. That's your philosophy also, yes? Oh, I would like to see this culture of kirtan. I'm not going to mention any particular places, but, during the day, in some temples, and I've told this very strongly to the temple leaders too in those places, in my opinion at least, when people come to a temple, preachers, or let's not say preachers, but let's say the people who are the receptionists, who are greeting them, who are answering their questions, they should be able to talk to them nicely. But when all day long, whenever there's darshan, there's these kirtans with deafening volume, then to talk to people, you have to scream over it in the temple. You have to scream over it, and people don't even want to ask questions because they have to scream to ask a question, and then they can't hear you when you're screaming. We want to have, if we're going to have a kirtan like that, it should very, if we're going to have it in front of the deities during darshans, it should be very sweet and very soft and very devotional. So that when people come, they feel just the sweetness of bhakti. And when they want to ask questions, at the back of the temple room, they could talk with a normal voice and hear about Krishna, and hear about our temple, and hear about Prabhupada. Yes? If the instruments are soft, you don't even need a sound system. Or if you do, it could be just loud enough so it's nice. So that people in the temple room could actually talk at normal voice and have a conversation with people while the kirtan's going on. For those types of kirtans, where they're just going on during the day, I think that's ideal. And of course, for our Sunday kirtan and everything, or the big festival kirtans, then of course, there's going to be, 1,000 devotees, and everything has to get louder for that to, according to the need. So we want to attract people by the devotion and the sincerity in which we're chanting. And we don't want to drown it out by the sheer volume of instruments and sound systems. In other words, except for really ecstatic kirtans that take place sometimes, like Guru Puja, just keep it as it is, it's ecstatic, just no. But during the day when guests are coming in and out and like that, people should feel it's kirtan in the, although kirtan is transcendental, we may not be transcendental. So we should be in the mode of goodness, not in the mode of passion when we're doing kirtan. Especially for these types of situations where people are coming for darshan and it's not just a big mahakirtan. The big mahakirtans, as it is, it's beautiful. But the kind of daily kirtans during darshans and everything, they should be very much kirtans where we're, it's transcendental, but we're in the mode of goodness the way we're presenting it. And that will help people to really develop that. And I think in order to just to bring this discussion in a full circle, in order for devotees to have that sense of goodness, it's good to go to Wada Farm. Actually, that you'll be one of the most important people. Not only will you milk cows and work oxen, but when we have these retreats, we could have bhajan classes, music classes, and that could be a wonderful thing for you. Yes? You don't have to work oxen. It will be a beautiful place for seminars in music, seminars in yoga, seminars in philosophy, seminars in all aspects of devotional service. Any other question? Yes, Prabhu. Arrivo.
In India, in Orissa, I am from Orissa, and I have seen that people are more using tractors instead of ox, and they are not using cows these days. It has reduced to a large extent. And in Andhra Pradesh also, there are thousands of farmers who are like committing suicide because of their greedy after money, so they are after the corpse, which are like there for which are cash corpse. So definitely our farm project will be like enlightening for everyone or in all Indian citizens also. So I see that all the political parties and our government, they do not understand the importance of cow protection and also land issues. So can you throw some light how this our project will be helpful to the people in general also?
Jai Jagannath. Through the teachings of Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, and our acharyas, the teachings, the philosophy, the values, it's all there. And some of the devotees within our society, like Tapapunj Prabhu, have created fantastic presentations of how this philosophy is very relevant and applicable to our present times. But for people to hear it, we have to bring them to an environment where it's working and where they can see it and they can experience it and they can speak to people who are doing it. Then it will actually have an effect that many people will take very seriously. Because people don't take theories so seriously. But when they see it, they feel it, they experience it, and they talk to people who are doing it, then they understand that this is possible. And it's beautiful. It's actually wonderful. We could be doing this too. Prabhupada wanted us to demonstrate how it's a beautiful, enjoyable, fulfilling lifestyle. And when people see it and experience it with people who do it, it will have an impact of changing their hearts. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We had gone.
What we have to understand is in world history, the major changes that take place in world history are generally things that appear impossible. But because a few people actually live by their ideal and do it, and that gradually affects a few more and a few more and a few more, those types of situations is what has caused the major changes in the world throughout history. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Communism, you know, Karl Marx wrote his ideal. Nobody really cared about it. Little by little, people started taking interest in it. And soon, a major part of the Earth planet is communist. Nobody thought that, you know, during the Russian Tsar, nobody thought, they were just a few people who believed in it. A few intellectuals that believed in it. But gradually, they started... Economic times and all sorts of other things were happening where people gradually became more receptive. And soon a major part of the planet became that. You know, British rule, you know, Gandhi, Subhash Chandra Bose, Mr. Patel, you know, the original, you know, Freedom Crusaders of India. They had an idea. That idea was impossible. It was just a few people. But because they lived it, they were willing to go to jail for it. Little by little it spread, and it drove the whole British Empire out of India. Yes? In America, it was a British colony just like India. There were just a few people who just started, you know, quit America for the British. They started speaking to others, speaking to each other. They lived by it. They were willing to get persecuted for it. And gradually, look at America now. It's one of the most powerful countries in the world. But it started with just a few people who believed in something that was impossible and lived with it. So much of the world's technologies today and sciences, it just began with a few people. And gradually, because they lived by it over a period of time, circumstances of the world started to become more receptive to their ideas. And it took over the whole world. Christianity, Jesus was just one man who believed in what he was saying. And he just walked around, you know, and started talking to some fishermen. You know, the first year of his preaching, he only had a few disciples. Nobody really took him seriously. And gradually it grew a little more, and people started taking him seriously. And then when they started to take him a little more seriously, they tried to destroy it. And now it's the largest religion in the world. Now, 2,000 years ago, when Christ first started preaching, nobody would ever dream that he would change the world the way he did. But it was just him and a few others. So we have to understand in world history, just a few people who really believe in something, could be good or could be bad, could change the whole course of history of the planet and affect hundreds of millions of people. Yes? And Prabhupada was talking about how Krishna consciousness can spread all over the world. And we may be thinking, well, the world as it is, how is that possible? And, you know, there's so much this and that. But actually, if we look at the world's history, just a few people have the right ideals, live by those ideals, have the right vision of how to present it to others, make it relevant to the lives of others, and then some certain types of environmental or political or social situation happens to people, and then all of a sudden they start taking it very seriously. It could have a massive impact on the world. Prabhupada had faith that things like these farm projects would have a massive impact on the world. We may think, well, what's our little farm going to do? Well, what's little Mahatma Gandhi going to do? And what's little Karl Marx going to do? And what's little Thomas Jefferson going to do? And what's little Jesus going to do? We have to understand that we're empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if we follow Prabhupada's direction wholeheartedly. So we should expect the impossible to happen if we just have faith in the higher power that's directing. If we don't have faith that it could happen, it won't happen. But if we have faith of what could happen, it will happen if we just do it right. Should we end here? Is that a good subject to leave with? Radha Gopinath, anything you would like to add? Lost your voice. Because of what? Really? Okay, I'm sorry I called on you. He's one of, in the whole world, Radha Gopinath Prabhu is one of my most favorite speakers. Every time he gives a class or gives examples, I'm thrilled to hear them. We considered, some people considered Son Papri impossible. People all over the world told me only at Govardhan, nobody else will ever make it like that. we sent some of our best cook grihastas with best cooks. They were trying, and it was nothing like that. And they said, it can't be done. And then we sent brahmacharis there, and they tried, and it didn't come out right. Can't be done. Because of the unity of Radha Dutti Prabhu and Damodar Chaitanya Prabhu? Huh? Oh, Damodar. Okay. Damodar Prabhu and Radha Dutti Prabhu. Sri Sri Radha Damodar. By the grace of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. We spoke with Burijan Prabhu and Jai Srila Prabhu and people who live in Vrindavan a lot. And they were saying, actually for the Gaur Purnima feast, Jagannath Mishra Day, some of my godbrothers were saying, this is actually better than at Govardhan. Small thing, but it just shows if we, you know, what when Prabhupada came to the West, everybody in India said it was impossible. But he tried. So if we just try under his order, then we could have a major impact in the world. We just have to be pure and have faith and try. Thank you very much.
Let us express our gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj by loudly chanting. So I now request one group photo with the BT badge of Maharaj. Please come on this side, next to Maharaj Vyasasan.
I don't know.